Thanks for tuning in to Faith Church Podcast. We're a church that believes in getting people connected, seeing families grow, and lives being changed. We hope that this message will speak to you today. It was all in our hearts, and I believe you're going to love it. Let's get to it.
I'm excited about what I have to share with you today because, you know, it's so important that we control our life. And you might have had a very rough week, but I'm here to tell you that it's about to change right now. God's getting ready to start working things for your good. I was reflecting on this talk today back when I was 15 years old. My dad, he decided he wanted to go see his dad in southeast Missouri. And if you're from Florida, you won't know anything about this, but it's the Boot Hill. It's called the Boot Hill of Missouri. And he wanted to go down there. And my grandfather had married this woman that my dad didn't really like. How many of y'all know when your dad marries another woman, you probably don't like her? Come on, raise your hand, all campuses, come on. And so he didn't like her, and they were older, but at the same time, there was something annoying about this woman to him. With all due respect, he didn't like her. You know, sometimes you can be annoyed on the inside, and it starts affecting the outside. Maybe you're annoyed right now. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm annoyed right now. Go ahead, tell him. Okay, so you can be annoyed, and then it leads to the cousin of anger, and then it leads to the next cousin, strife. And the Bible said where strife is, there's confusion in every evil work. So we go on this trip. My dad says, you know what, son, put all our guns. We're going to go target practicing. And you see, my dad, he was a cop. So he was incredible. He was a marksman. He taught all us boys how to shoot. My little brother, he could just like knock the tic-tac off the head of a duck. I mean, it was unbelievable the way this guy was trained to shoot. He'd hold his breath. I mean, it was phenomenal. Well, when we were driving down there, there was an uneasiness in my dad's spirit. Isn't that something? The Holy Spirit's always kind of checking you. There's the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, and he'll kind of check you. So we're actually, you know, it's about a 2.5-hour drive down there, but about an hour into the drive, he stopped at a friend's house. Now, my dad never does that. But again, the Holy Spirit was stopping my dad, trying to keep him from what is about to happen. Okay, so finally, he ends up shooting there at our friend's house, hanging out in the country, thinking maybe this would be enough. When we actually look at what happened that day, he told me later after the incident that I can't wait to tell you about, he said, I knew then I wasn't supposed to go. I knew that I was in strife. I knew that I would get angry. See, the Holy Spirit on the inside will check you. The Bible said to follow your heart, lean not to your own understanding. But he talked himself out of it. He said, I can put a mute on that voice. I can silence that voice. So he goes down, and we did, and we're going to go spend the night with my grandpa. That woman that he's married to is there, and him and her and my dad kind of start snipping at each other a little bit. And she said, well, why are you here? I hope you're not wanting to shoot all those guns. And my dad was like, you know, trying to be nice, but left it alone. The next morning, we get up to go target plastic to shoot, and she said with this voice, she said, you're going to shoot yourself. And my dad, it just made him so angry. It made him so mad. He said, can you believe her? He's bickering about her. He's aggravated about her. He starts lining up all his guns to do all this stuff. And remember, he's been trained. He's highly trained with guns. But there was these two derringers that don't have any like covering over the trigger. And he's gonna do this John Wayne moment, right? He's got guns everywhere. And he goes to put this one in the holster. And when he does, it goes and misfires and shoots my dad in the leg. How many of y'all hate when that happens? Come on, somebody. Bam! Hits him in the leg, goes down his kneecap, and blood starts rushing. He's like, oh, oh, oh. I start freaking out because I watched, come on, anybody ever watch a lot of television? I thought, this is where he dies. But he doesn't die. He starts hobbling into the house telling his dad, and he said, hey, I got shot. And that woman said, I told you you were going to shoot yourself. Only to accelerate my dad's heart rate more. My grandpa gets us in the truck. He starts driving us to the hospital. We get to the hospital. He said, we got a gunshot wound victim here. And they in Dexter, Missouri said, we don't know what to do with that. We've never had anybody shot. You need to get to St. Louis. So my dad runs to the airport, hires a little pilot, gives me the keys to his Corvette. I'm 15. Says, drive it home. I'm like, what in the world? I don't even know how to get home. This is before GPS. Everything's freaking out. I drive home. I'm scared of the cops, but I'm doing what I can. I get home 2.5 hours later. My mom's at home. She's screaming, where's your dad? I said, I don't know. She said, well, it's crazy. There's blood going all the way up to the top of the stairs. His jeans have a hole in it. Where's he at? There's blood in the shower. The dude had went home, took a shower, put on a suit, and drove himself to Barnes Hospital. Come on, somebody. They don't make them like this anymore. This guy is out of his mind. Now, my mom's all upset because, you know, obviously dad's been shot. He knew from being a cop. He didn't want to go in being shot and have all the questions if he didn't look like a sophisticated businessman. Let's back this all up a minute, though. My dad goes through months and months of pain. They have to do knee surgery and take the bullet that is lodged in his knee out of there. He goes through all this trauma and all this hurt and then months of rehabilitation and physical therapy. And here's what he told me at the end of the trail. And that's what I want to share with you today. The servant of the Lord must not strive. The Bible said where strife is, there's confusion in every evil work. My dad was annoyed, and then this annoyance, being annoyed with her, being annoyed with his situation, now led him into anger, and now his anger caused him to sin and get into strife. Now, I want you to go to this passage with me in Ephesians 4 and verse 28. They'll put it on the screen for you, 26. It says, be angry and do not sin. Notice it's okay to have the natural, chemical, bodily, physiological, the psychology of it all. It's okay to be angry, but it's not okay to sin when you're angry. The Bible said that God is angry with the sinner every day, but God doesn't sin. It says, do not give place to anger. Do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. See, when we let the sun go down on our wrath, in other words, we're mad, we're annoyed, and we're angry. And then we go to bed angry. And then we sleep angry. And then we wake up angry. Now it starts affecting everything about us. It starts getting down in our heart. And instead of getting bitter, better, we now get bitter. We're now annoyed and aggravated and mad and mouthy. And then that opens up the door to the enemy. Some people may say, you believe in the devil. I certainly do. You're like, I don't believe in the devil. The devil told you that, okay? The devil is real. The Bible said that the devil comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that you might have life. You might have life. Come on, everybody, shout it. You might have life. Come on, every campus, you might have life. God wants you to have life. The devil wants you to have a bad life. He wants you to be angry and annoyed. And the Bible said, don't give place to anger. Don't give place to the devil. Now, if you go down to verse 32, it says, and be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ has forgiven you. Be tender-hearted. It's hard to be tender-hearted when you're hard-hearted, when you've went through these scenarios and problems. In fact, my dad told me later, even while he was getting the bullet taken out of his leg, and even when he was in rehab, he said, one of the things that actually brought up more anger in me was the fact that now I'm angry at myself. Because I knew on the way down there to that, hunting trip, to that, to target practicing trip, to hang out with his dad, on the way down, I kept getting a check. I knew I wasn't supposed to go. That's why I delayed it. Because my dad was probably like your dad. When he got in the car, he went all the way. And if he had to go to the bathroom, too bad. Come on, anybody know what I'm talking about right now? You weren't stopping for anything. But the Holy Spirit was checking him because the enemy was trying to set him up to get him annoyed, then angry, then in strife, and then open himself up to this situation. I'm here to tell you today, how long are you going to hold on to being annoyed? How long are you going to be angry? Now, and here's the problem. While my dad was through getting this, rehab and so on, he said that he had anger coming up again. Because he's like, if I hadn't have been in strife with her, and if I hadn't have been, you could start blaming people. Do you know that life is only about 10% what happens to you and about 90% of what you do with what happens to you? In other words, we're about as happy as we decide to be. We decide today that, life is good. We decide today we're blessed, we're favored, we're anointed, we're qualified. We got a great church. Come on, somebody help me right now. You got a happy pastor. Even though some bad things happen to you, there would be a lot of people in the world who would love to be you. But why are we annoyed? Why are we down in the dumps? Why are we allowing these few little things to annoy us to the point to where now we're angry and we're just doing eye rolls all the time? Why? I believe the enemy is trying to steal our joy. The Bible says a merry heart does good like a medicine. It says the joy of the Lord is our strength. Can I get an amen in here today? Come on, shout it. Amen. Look at your neighbor and tell him, say, I'm going to let you take me to Cracker Barrel after this. Go ahead, tell him that. Now, 2 Timothy 2, verse 24, check this out. It says, and the servant of the Lord must not be argumentative, but a gentle listener and a teacher who keeps his cool. Look at your neighbor and say, keep your cool. Go ahead, tell him, keep your cool, fool. No, don't do that, that's right. Next verse says, and the servant of the Lord must not be quarrelsome, fighting, contending. Instead, he must be kindly to everyone, mild-tempered, preserving the bond of peace, and must be skilled and a suitable teacher, patient, forbearing, willing to suffer wrong. I don't like the Amplified because it really amplifies. One man said that the Amplified Bible is the woman's Bible because it uses more words. Come on. So it amplifies it and says, hang on, we must get skilled at preserving the bond of peace. In other words, when we're aggravated, when we're provoked, we're on the edge, when we're disturbed, when we're mad, now there's a high probability that we're actually going to react to a scenario instead of saying, hang on, I'm not going to have knee-jerk reactions in this. I'm going to actually think through it and know that I'm going to stay calm because I'm going to keep myself from being annoyed. Now, how many of y'all sometimes get annoyed in traffic? Raise your hand. Come on, all campuses. Come on. In Florida, I know you're paying attention. I think Florida is where old people go to die. You know, they walk around like their tennis shoes are tied together. And when they move from New York or somewhere cold, they turn on their left blinker when they leave the house in New York and they never turn it off. They leave it off. Okay, so that you're annoyed by traffic. Anybody ever just been annoyed by your kids? Come on, raise your hand. Or annoyed by your mate? Or annoyed by people at work? We can just be annoyed. In other words, we're allowing the enemy to set us up to keep us upset. But if we'll say, hang on a minute, I'm going to refrain from being annoyed. I'm actually not going to be annoyed. I just heard the Holy Spirit say, if you're annoyed, it'll keep you from being anointed. If you want the anointing of God to increase on your life, you've got to decrease the amount of being annoyed you allowed to let happen in your life. Come on, somebody help me right now. I'm saying the servant of the Lord must not strive. We make a decision in our own life to say, no, devil, not today. I'm done with you ruining my life. I'm about as happy as I wanted to be based with the information that I have. But now the joy of the Lord is going to be my strength. No weapon formed against me is going to prosper. I know that God has good plans out in my future, and I'm going to celebrate right now. A lot of people don't have breath and britches like I do today, but I'm going to give God praise today, knowing this, that all things work together for my good, and I'm not going to let traffic annoy me, politics annoy me, police annoy me, people annoy me. I am too anointed to be annoyed. Come on, shout it. I'm too anointed to be annoyed. Shout it again. I'm too anointed to be annoyed. Take that, devil. Come on, somebody. I'm preaching right now. Woo! My Lord. Now, I want to read this stat. It says, Christian counselors report that 50% of the people that come in for counseling have problems dealing with anger. Anger, sadly, shatters communication and tears apart relationships. Sadly, a lot of people tend to justify their anger instead of accepting responsibility for it. In other words, what it's saying here is everyone struggles with anger. So one of the ways I think that we can make our marriage better, make our relationship with our kids better, is forgive people every night when you go to bed. Remember, we read a while ago, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. In other words, when you go to bed, how many of y'all go to bed? Raise your hand if you go to bed. If you ever gone to bed and you're trying to get your mind to shut up and it goes, starts spinning up on you, right? How many of y'all worry sometimes when you're in bed? Raise your hand. You worry in bed. How many sometimes it even worries you that the person you're in bed with isn't worried? They're already snoring. And you're like, oh my gosh, they're already snoring. I can't sleep, right? Because what we've allowed is a lot of the annoyances throughout the day to steal our anointing, to steal our joy. Now we're actually operating in strife, and now there's confusion. You're confused about it. You're aggravated about it. You're mad about it. And now you call your friend and tell them about it. You won't believe what my kids did. They did it again. You won't believe what Bob did. He did it again. And she'll say, I can't believe it. I told you he's no good rotten turkey. You shouldn't have married him anyway. And what we're doing is we're running to the phone instead of running to the throne. And so now every night we go to bed, we need to forgive people, and here's why. God said, my mercies are new every morning. Am I preaching to a church today or not? He said, my mercies are new every morning. How many of y'all glad that his mercies are new for you every morning? Come on, Weldon. Come on, West Palm. Listen, so if his mercies are new every morning, we need to model his behavior. Because I don't really see God going for Prozac or Xanax today. How many of y'all don't think that God has an appointment with a psychiatrist today, right? He's the great physician. He made us and he created us. So he's modeling this behavior saying, Sabbath, that means one day a week needs to be consecrated to the Lord. Come on, that's what Sunday's about. You're not going to work. You're not going to church. You're actually saying, you know what? This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. So now he modeled that behavior. Then he modeled forgiveness every day. I've noticed sometimes that I get aggravated with some people so quickly because they aggravated me the day before. And they aggravated me the day before that. Anybody know what I'm talking about right now? And then now you're doing an eye roll like, how many times am I going to have to deal with this same situation? And what they did wasn't even that bad that day. It's that I didn't forgive them for Wednesday, and I didn't forgive them for Tuesday. Come on, who am I talking to? And I didn't forgive them Monday. So now when they say something stupid on Thursday, I'm like, oh my gosh, you take the cake. We must forgive people, let them go, because annoyance is really close to anger. And if you're annoyed and you're angry, you don't get the anointing of God on your life. The Bible talks about the anointing being like an oil. That's an oil that flows down off of the head of God into our life. And as we grow up, we're more like Christ. But as we always ticked off, expecting people to read our minds, or perhaps they are reading our minds because they know the way we think, because it's very easy to see the pattern in which we live because we're always in a state of aggravation, then obviously everybody around us, they're on edge all the time because of the anger problem that we have. Ephesians 4:15, let's check this out. Let's put it on the screens. All campuses, come on. Speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way unto him who is the head of Christ. Speaking the truth in love. In other words, it's not saying you can't talk about something. It's not saying that you can't deal with an issue with somebody. But it is saying that you have to speak it, but you speak it in love. May I suggest to you that you'll have a lot greater success rate getting along with people if you get along with yourself. In other words, sometimes I'm mad at people, but when I trace it all the way back, I'm mad at myself. Sure, it's getting quiet in church today. Come on, somebody put an amen right there. So the reason why I'm mad at you is I'm actually mad at me. And the Bible said to love your neighbor as yourself. And how can I love my neighbor as myself when I don't even like me right now? Because I'm reacting. Because I'm annoyed. Because I'm angry. Why? Because I'm not anointed. But when I go to church and I come to church on time and I lift my hands and I worship God and I read my Bible in the morning, then I come out and I say, I don't care what the queen says. I've already been with the king. In other words, I don't care what's happening in policy or politics or our people or problems. I know that God is on my side and I'm walking in love, and love never fails. Come on, somebody ought to give God praise right now. Love never fails. So we can communicate that there is a problem, but we don't do it out of anger and we don't do it out of being mad. We do it out of walking in love. Now, if you're a person that you're like, well, I'm married to somebody that's angry and I'm not angry, but they're angry, how do I deal with them? And that's a great question. I'm glad you asked. One of the ways I think we deal with it is the Bible said in Romans 12:18. Let's look at it on the big screens, all campuses. Come on, West Palm. Come on, St. Louis. If it possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with everybody. In other words, sometimes there's some people that they won't allow themselves enough bandwidth or space or forgiveness for you to get along with them, but you can get along with them even if they don't get along with you. I'm going to say it again. You can get along with them even if they don't get along with you. You've done that with your kids. I saw a little kid the other day at the store. We were at Palm Beach Gardens Mall there in Palm Beach. And the little kid was going screaming crazy. And he was really mad. And he's about this big. And the mom was just standing there. And she wasn't even paying attention. And he was, he's throwing a fit. And finally, he just smacked her with his hand. He said, Mom, It's like, in other words, I don't think she hears me right now. So I'm actually going to smack her leg to make sure she hears me. We all heard him. But he was trying to get attention. But she would not allow herself to be annoyed. I'm not saying that's the way my dad would have handled it different. Come on, raise your hand. My dad would be like, if you ever do that again, I will kill you and tell God you died and made another one just like you. Come on, somebody. But that's the way she dealt with it. She said, oh, she's just totally ignoring him. Even though he's massively angry, she's not allowing the fact that he's massively angry to get her annoyed. So somebody you're married to, They might not be for anymore, but they might be acting like they're for. Don't point at anybody right now. But just because they're acting like they're for, we read a minute ago that we are being raised up with Christ, that we are growing in the admonition of the Lord, that we are not going the flesh way, but we're going the word way. And when we're annoyed, we're going to say, I'm anointed, I'm appointed, I'm qualified. And just because they get down in the dirt and want to roll in the mud, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to walk in love with them and just let them scream and yell all they want, because it takes two to tango, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, so I'm not going to be in strife with them. Now, you don't say to them, well, you know what? I'm prayed up. I go to church. I love the Lord. And you can act like a fool if you want to. But how many of y'all know that ain't the right? That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying walk in love with them and don't talk down at them. And as you go to the next level, you can pray for them and your prayers won't get hindered and they'll go to the next level. Come on, everybody, give it up for God right now. How many of y'all this is helping you? Raise your hand if it's helping you right now. One more time, James 1:20. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. The anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. So when I get angry and you get angry, look at your neighbor and say, he's talking to you right now. Go ahead, tell him, come on, he's talking to you. When you get angry, it does not produce the righteousness of God. So how can we handle anger biblically? Well, we make room for God's wrath. So God's wrath, God will deal with it. The Bible says what a man sows, he reaps. So if they sow foolishness, if they sow anger, if they sow hostility, then that comes on them. What are we going to sow? We're going to sow love. Everybody shout it. We're going to sow love. Shout it again, class. Why? We're going to sow love. So people are reacting, and they're annoyed and they're angry. So we can either be pulled down to their level and be annoyed and angry, or we can say, hang on now, you can hold on to me all you want. You can stretch my sweater out, but I'm not going to be annoyed and angry because life is too good. And when you say, you know what, I'm going to pass on this opportunity to get angry. If my daddy would have stopped an hour shy of that trip, followed his heart, leaned not to his own understanding, his flesh was saying, I want to go. His spirit was saying, don't go. Then he wouldn't have got shot in the leg. He wouldn't have had a bullet hole. He wouldn't have went through all that pain. He wouldn't have went through all that trouble. And I'm telling you, many times, we may be right. They may be wrong. But you know what? Sometimes you can be right and get over in sin and anger and end up being wrong. Come on, raise your hand right now if that's you. I mean, we just do it. We just get angry. So the Bible says that the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Now, let's go here to Matthew 5:43. Check it out. It says, but you have heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. How many of y'all don't like that? But, you know, we got to do it. So that you may be sons of the Father who is in heaven. For he makes the sun to rise on the evil and the good. And he sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? The Bible says if you greet only your brothers, it says that the Gentiles even do that. In other words, God is saying, hey, if you want to be like me, you're going to just walk in love and you're going to love people. And you say, well, I don't even care about people that much. Do you care about yourself? Come on, raise your hand if you care about, you're not raising your hand. Come on, raise your hand if you care about you. And I know you care about you because you're the first person you look at when we take a group photo. You're like, delete that picture. I had my eyes closed. How many of y'all know? You love you. I know you love you. So if you love you, you're not forgiving them because you love them even. You're forgiving them because you love you. And if you want the best you and you want to enjoy watching a movie tonight, if you want to enjoy your meal tonight, even your digestive enzymes don't work right. The reason why you get having to take Tums all the time is because you're upset, you're angry while you're eating. And so your body's not producing the necessary things that it needs to digest the food. It affects everything about you. I'm begging you, Faith Church, I'm begging you to forgive them. I'm begging you to stop being annoyed. I'm begging you to stop allowing annoyance to turn you over into anger. And I'm saying that we as Christ followers need to say, if Jesus has forgiven us of the big debt, we ought to forgive them of the little debts, and we're going to count it not a wrong done, and then we're going to watch what we say about them. Now, as we're wrapping this up, watch what you say about them. Ephesians 4:29. It says, and let no corrupt communication or talk come out of your mouth, but only such as good for the building up, as it fits the occasion, that it may give grace to the hearers. that it gives grace to the hearers. It gives grace. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. In other words, what I do sometimes is when I get aggravated, I probably shouldn't even tell you this, but when I get aggravated and I get annoyed and I get angry, sometimes I just tell Nicole about it. Can you believe that dirty rascal? I mean, that's the seventh time that he did that to me. Anybody ever had this problem? And then now I'm talking about the person and it's corrupt communication and my breath now smells bad as I'm talking about him, and I'm not changing them. I'm not praying for them. I'm only making Nicole aggravated, because if she gets aggravated when somebody bugs me, right? So now I'm aggravated. Now she's aggravated, and anybody else that's hearing is aggravated. Instead of saying, you know what? I'm not going to let any corrupt communication proceed out of my mouth. I have a friend who's a preacher, and if I mention her name, you know her. She said she, being married to her husband for all these years, she's never heard her husband say one negative thing about another person. And I'm like, whoa, not even a day goes by without me saying something negative. Some people are predisposed to be more genetically like that, and other people are more negative. In fact, I have an eye for excellence. I love an eye for excellence. The problem is the basement of an eye for excellence is a critical spirit. In other words, I could go into the West Palm Beach campus right now and I could see not everything that's right. I could see the two things that are wrong. I could go into Weldon or our city or Sunset Hills and they got 97 things right and I'll see the two things that's wrong. It's an eye for excellence. But if I'm annoyed and I've been angry for a long time, it brings out the negative. So then when I say, hey, those three things need to be fixed, the people who have given their life, they've worked like crazy to make the service wonderful or their experience wonderful, they think all I saw was the negative. Am I making sense to anybody right now? Come on, somebody shout amen to me. Okay, so we want to make sure that our gifts and talents, the personality that God gave us, that it lines up with the word so we don't walk around angry and mad. Last couple of scriptures. I'm going to throw a couple at you. I want you to get out your iPhone or something. I want you to write these down. Proverbs 21 verse 19 says, it is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman. Angry woman. Or we could say angry man. Proverbs 22 verse 24 says, make no friendships with an angry man or a furious man. You should not go. It goes on to say that you'll actually take on their ways. If you hang around angry people, you'll be angry. If you hang around negative people, you'll be negative. If you hang around positive people, you'll be positive. I'm positive about that. Proverbs 29 verse 22 says, an angry man stirs up strife and a furious man causes transgressions. So we're seeing the Bible has a lot to say about anger. And as I'm kind of wrapping this up today, I want to share this with you. It doesn't mean that you're bad. You're like, man, I wish I wasn't so this way. You're who God created you to be, but you need to be the saved version of who God created you to be. You need to be the anointed version of who God created you to be, not the annoyed. Everybody shout, anointed, not annoyed. Shout it, come on. Anointed, not annoyed. Shout it, anointed, not annoyed. One more time, anointed, not annoyed. But that anointing leaks, right? Because there are annoying people that make you mad, make you angry. So that's why we got to make sure we're in a small group. We got to make sure we're going to church every week, not just every fourth week. Maybe you're watching online right now and you're like, I've been coming to church some, but I don't come like I should anymore. You got to go and be around people. You're like, well, I get along with people better when I'm not around people. Listen, you can't hide behind a screen your whole life. You need to get under a roof. Get to West Palm. Get to Earth City. Get to Sunset Hills. Get to Weldon. The new Ferguson Florissant campus. Get to these campuses where there are people there that can bring out the best in you. Get in an iConnect group. Because you're only as sick as your secrets. And when you get around other people, they start bringing out the joy in you. You know, your family of choice or origin might be messed up and make you mad, but your family of choice can bring out the life-giving spirit that God has called you to have. As a Christ follower at Faith Church, I want you to grow in these levels. I want you to be able to listen to the Holy Spirit and know, I'm not supposed to go on that trip. And not that we get weird, but we actually are led by the Spirit of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. That's what the Scripture says. And you're anointed. And you're too anointed to be annoyed. And you're too anointed to go around angry, because all it's doing is it's building bitterness on the inside of you. And now you go from 1 to 10 with your wife and you didn't need to. You went from 1 to 10 with your kid, and it really wasn't about what they did. It was about what he did a year ago, what somebody else did yesterday. We got to forgive him and let him go. Every head bowed and every eye closed, nobody looking around, nobody looking, all campuses, I want to ask you a question right now. How many raise your hands and say, Pastor, I needed that word today. It has made an impact on my life, and I need you to pray with me right now. Come on, slip up those hands all over. I can't see them, but God can see them. Come on, keep them up. Put them up. Put them up. I know there's still some more hands. I want you to put them up. Everyone, let God see you. That's wonderful. I want you to put them down right now, and I want you to pray this prayer with me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I ask you to forgive me right now. I'm sorry for being annoyed. I'm sorry for walking in anger. And now I want to be anointed. I am anointed. I am qualified. I am forgiven. And from this moment forward, I forgive everyone. I even forgive myself. No longer will I live annoyed. No longer will I live in anger. But now I will live anointed. Come on, shout it again. I will live anointed. One more time. I will live anointed. Come on, give it up right now for God in this house. Isn't that wonderful? I promise you right now that God has put you on the track that you need to live your best life. Deal with that anger. Deal with that annoyance. Start getting around people and watch some movies that make you laugh this week. Have a great week. I promise you, if you'll get in a small group too, when you do that, other people will get around you and they'll uplift your spirit. Get into growth track this weekend. Learn to connect with God, connect with people, make a difference. And I promise you, God will take you to places you never thought possible. In Jesus' name, and everyone said amen. Come on, give it up for your campus pastor as they come. Come on, put it up.
Thanks for joining us on our podcast today. We certainly hope it spoke to you in the same way it was speaking to us. If you enjoyed this message today, there's a few things I like to encourage you to do. First of all, subscribing to it. It's really easy to get these Faith Church sermons sent straight to your phone with a notification as soon as they're ready. I mean, you want that, right? Secondly, by sharing with a friend on social media, just like you might share a sale or some great restaurant, we're looking for you to share it with your friends. You never know in your network of friends who really needs this message today. And lastly, before you go, if you'll rate and review this on iTunes, it'll really help us expand our reach, help more people globally. Each time there's a positive rating, this really helps push us in front of more people. So that's what I want you to do. And if you live in the St. Louis area or West Palm Beach, come out and see us at our physical locations. If you don't, make sure you tune in to our church online. It's a real campus at faithchurch.com.